would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We have previously talked about the attack on motherhood, but there's a much greater attack that is happening today on not only motherhood, but also on girls, women, and womanhood in general. And this is really alarming and disturbing. We've seen really crazy things happening in our culture. One of the things that we have seen is doctors actually encouraging girls to transition into a boy and boys to transition into a girl. Sometimes even before that child has even entered puberty. And this is very, very alarming, something that should disturb us, because as we see from Scripture, God created human beings, male and female. And we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this attack and give some examples and even some stories of some of the people that have been through this and apply biblical principles, looking at the truth of God's Word, because God's Word is truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is truth. And we need to follow the truth and to not be ashamed of the truth. In fact, there's a lot of pressure on people today, on individuals, on companies, to be silent on this attack and to not let your voice be heard. And if you let your voice be heard, there's fear of cancellation. And we have seen people that have gotten in trouble over speaking out and speaking the truth on certain issues. And you may have heard of some of those stories, but we'll talk today about some of the things that are happening. You may have seen recently in the news, Dylan Mulvaney, that was in the news as someone who transitioned to a woman and was hired by Bud Light for a commercial. And there's been huge backlash on Bud Light because of that. He also was hired by Maybelline and also Nike to, by the way, model a sports bra, which, unless Dylan has gone through a breast enhancement, has no need of a sports bra. Tampax even sent Dylan a box of Tampax so that Dylan could give out Tampax to women. And there's a story about how Dylan was in a bathroom one time with a woman, and the woman asked if Dylan had Tampax, and Dylan said no, and Tampax sent Dylan a box of Tampax so that Dylan could have tampons to give out to women in bathrooms, because Dylan has no need of a tampon, because Dylan is not a woman. Dylan is a man. And we've also seen on the sports side, Leah Thomas, who is a biological male but transitioned into a female and is competing with women in sports, and actually even going into the locker room with women and undressing, and still has male parts but undressing in front of women, and the women having to undress and change clothes in front of in front of Leah Thomas. And one of the races, Leah Thomas actually tied with Riley Gaines. And yet Leah Thomas got the trophy, left that race with the trophy instead of Riley Gaines, who is a biological woman competing against a biological man. I recently was in Tallahassee to lobby for the protection of every innocent human life. And I met there, actually, we heard from Chloe Cole. That's not her real name, but that's the name that she goes by to try to protect her identity and the identity of her parents from harassment and really LGBTQ activist found out her real name and the name of her parents and have harassed her parents. But Chloe Cole is a young woman who says that she is still recovering from transitioning, and she's still suffering, still has wounds, open wounds on her chest. She spoke to us in Tallahassee and at the Florida Family Policy Council event, and also went to the Capitol and advocated for laws to protect children against the type of surgery that she went through. She actually is an 18-year-old detransitioner, and growing up, she was commonly what is called a tomboy. She was sexually assaulted in the eighth grade. This prompted her to hide that part of her body, which was her breast. She actually started wearing a contraption to make her breasts look smaller, and wanted to be rid of that and wanted to be without her breasts, be able to go outside without her shirt on. She actually looked at social media and she saw that there were people that were transitioning from a man or boy to a girl or a girl to a boy. This all started happening when she was about 12 years old, and she was introduced to a therapist who diagnosed her as having gender dysphoria. And then she was actually introduced to a surgeon. Her parents were told that if they didn't go along with this, that she might actually commit suicide. And her parents were really pressured by the medical people into supporting this surgery and hormones. She actually started receiving puberty blocking hormones. And then about 6 months after being introduced to a surgeon, received a double mastectomy. Prior to receiving the double mastectomy, she received the double mastectomy, by the way, when she was 15. When she received this double mastectomy, or prior to receiving it, she was asked and she was told that she might not, well, she would never be able to breastfeed a child. And, you know, at 15 years old, she really wasn't thinking about motherhood, wasn't thinking about breastfeeding a child, didn't even know really much about breastfeeding a child. But later on, one of the things that started happening after she had this surgery is that every day when she took a shower, when she took a bath, she was confronted with her chest that had wounds on it. And she actually had and still has today wounds on her chest. Her chest, the skin grafts have not healed. Her doctor actually said just put Vaseline on it. She did, but that caused an infection. And she still has to bandage her chest every single day. She started to miss some of the things about being a girl. And when her family wasn't around and no one was around, she would sometimes put on makeup. But she didn't tell anyone. She was afraid that they would think that they would find out. And then one day she was, and she actually, by the way, prior to the surgery, she was depressed. She had mental problems. And at no point did any of the therapists in the medical profession say, well, let's deal with the depression. Let's look at the root cause. What is causing this depression? At no point did they affirm her in her womanhood, but they presented transitioning as the only option for her. And she did transition, but then again started to have doubts about this. And she became, rather than having all the pressure and the depression relieved by this surgery, she actually became more depressed and had more problems after the surgery, and even had to drop out of school and go into an alternate program. But at some point, she was a part of a psychology class, and in the psychology class, they started talking about motherhood, and they started talking about breastfeeding and the importance of breastfeeding and the importance of that intimacy that happens when a mother feeds her child from her breast. And she really became sorrowful that a part of her womanhood had been taken away and would never come back to her. And now she is at a place where she doesn't know whether she'll ever be able to have a biological child. And she knows for certain that she will never be able to breastfeed. And she is still wounded to this day, wounded both physically and also emotionally and mentally. She was, before the surgery, physically fine. Today she's wounded. This type of stuff really is crazy. It's something that doesn't make any sense. It's something that's not logical. And author Jonathan Cain has a book, or Jonathan Cain has a book, The Return of the Gods. He actually was recently in Port St. Lucie for the National Day of Prayer event at the Mid-Florida Event Center. One of the things he talks about is that there are ancient deities, one of which is Ishtar, which is a goddess of sexual immorality. And as we in America have removed God from our culture, these ancient deities, these pagan deities, have come in and turning our culture into a pagan culture. And again, one of these deities is Ishtar. She is the goddess of sexual immorality. It is from this goddess that we actually get the word pornography and the actual pornography that really is so prevalent in our society today. Jonathan Cain actually looked up the ancient inscriptions and saw that she turns a man into a woman and a woman into a man. That she is actually the goddess that blends gender, blurs sexuality, blurs man and woman, and changes one to the other. Her ancient priest actually dressed like women and actually underwent surgical sex changes. Her followers held actually a pride festival in the month of June. Does this sound familiar? And he says that today this deity is coming after our children. This is really scary, scary stuff that we are facing today, and really an attack on girls, on boys, on men and women, on manhood and womanhood. We're focusing more on girls and women womanhood today because we're right near Mother's Day. And again, Chloe Cole, doesn't know whether she'll ever be able to be a mother biologically. She does know that she'll never be able to breastfeed her child. And this is definitely traumatic. Just think of this, a little girl that didn't know, that was confused, that was unhappy with her body, a lot of it because she was sexually abused, and rather than anyone, and she really didn't even realize the impact of that, rather than anyone actually uncovering that or looking at what the cause of her depression was, the solution was to change her gender. We need to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, because God's word is clear. When we look at the created order in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27, we see, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So God here didn't create, as we have mentioned in the past, Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. He created male and female. He created human beings as distinct sexes or genders. And there's really this idea today that your gender could be different than your sex, that what you're born as doesn't define you, that you can actually decide. And in fact, there's an idea that you can actually become a person could identify as a man, as a male one day and as a female another day, or even in the same day identify as one and then the other in the same day. In the city of New York, they actually have a list of about 39 different genders. But here we see that God created from the foundation of the world, from the earliest parts of creation, really the earliest parts of the human existence, God created humans as male and female. And this is the same thing that you see in nature as well. Animals are male and female. Humans are male and female. And God here says, be fruitful and multiply. And the only way you can be fruitful and multiply is to have a man and a woman. That's the only way it can happen. Biologically, it's just very clear. Two men can't create a baby. Two women can't create a baby. It takes a man and a woman. And we see this from Scripture, that God created human beings, male and female. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, we read, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" So you know that God originally created Adam. He originally created man. But God is here creating a helper for him. And without that helper, Adam would never reproduce. He would never have children. He would never be able to be fruitful and multiply. In verse 19, "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." So Adam here is calling and naming the animals and naming the creatures. And yet it says here that there wasn't found any helper for him. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So as Adam's looking at the birds, and he's looking at the donkeys, and he's looking at the horses, and he's looking at the various other creatures, the lions and all these, he's not seeing anything. He's not seeing any animal that can be a helper to him, someone that is comparable to him. And in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here we see God creating woman out of man, taking a rib. And it's been said that God didn't take a part of Adam's head because Eve was not to be over Adam. And he didn't take a part of his foot because Adam was not to dominate over Eve. But he took a part of his side and he made woman. And when he brought her to Adam, Adam said, whoa, man. I'm sure Adam, you know, God created, and really, this is amazing how God does this. God created woman to be attractive to man. And I'm sure that Adam was very attracted and very, very pleased with the sight of woman. And, you know, God really could have done things any way that he wanted to do, and he could have just made men and women look the same, and he could have made, he could have women being ugly, but really women are beautiful, and God has created women as beautiful, and the femininity and the female body parts are actually a part of that beauty, and are really to be reserved for the husband of the wife. And here God sets the created order that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So the two will become one. And there are people that might be saying, well, you know, that's the Old Testament and that doesn't apply anymore. But let's remember that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And the Bible is very clear that what's in the Old Testament is still binding today. Now, certainly there are certain parts of it that are not, and those really are dealing with the ceremonial law. So when you look at shedding the blood of bulls and goats and sheep for a temporary covering of sin, that's no longer needed. Why? Because Jesus came, and Jesus became our Passover lamb. He became our scapegoat. He shed his own blood and offered his own blood on the cross for your sins and for mine, so that we can come to him, can repent of our sins, can turn from our wicked ways, and receive forgiveness for our sins. But lest anyone get an idea that this created order is just something that's old and doesn't apply today, Jesus actually reiterated this principle in Matthew chapter 19. He reaffirms this principle. The Pharisees came to him and they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And this is, by the way, in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 3. And Jesus answered them and he said to them, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so Jesus here really shows that this is God's standard. And we as Christians need to uphold God's standards, and we need to proclaim the Word of God to this lost and dying world. I mean, just sit back and think about what we're going to see in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years as these young boys and girls that have been transitioned to the opposite sex grow up and realize what a mistake they have made and realize how harmful this was to them. The gospel offers the truth that we have sinned, and with that truth that we have sinned also offers us the opportunity to repent of our sins and to come to God to be set free from our sins, to be forgiven for our sins, to have that blood of Jesus that we talked about to be applied to our sins, to wash away our sins so that we can be made whole and we can be adopted into His family. So we need to go to anyone who has gone through this transitioning with the truth that God did not make them that way. God either made them male or female. And we need to show them love, but also show them the truth of God's word and call them to repentance and to really speak truth to the culture and to oppose this idea that a man can become a woman or a woman can become a man. We need to speak the truth, to speak it boldly, and to speak it with love. And really, this is what the gospel is all about. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Lost and could not see, but you did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world you made, and on the cross of Calvary, you gave your life to set me free. Forever I will sing your name, hands are heart full of praise. The King of glory once enthroned was laid to rest behind the stone. But death would not have final say. Jesus, you.